the man that has sin stopped in his life is blessed. You've created an environment where the blessing can do what it's supposed to do.
The blessing of God is a direct reflection of God's goodness. Join Kenneth Copeland today on The Believer's Voice of Victory as he shares how the blessing is a sign of our covenant with God.
The blessing. The blessing. The empowerment to be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth with the glory of God. Now remember, that word, when God said that to Adam, may I ask you to consider something? Don't call his wife Eve. She didn't get that name until after the curse came, until after they got out of the garden. She was not Eve when God said that to her. She was Adam. He was Adam. They were one. Their names in Hebrew was Ish and Isha. Her name was Isha. Ish and Isha in Hebrew have God connecting them together. Ish and Isha are connected together with God in the middle. Amen. He married them. Well, he married Gloria and me. Amen. There was a Baptist preacher officiated, but Jesus was the high priest. But later, when we found out about it, I want you to know she and I believed God together. I mean, we are one in the Spirit. We are now Ish and Isha. Praise God. Man, woman, one piece. Now, so when you think about her, don't call her Eve. Eve is a cursed name, and she ought not have that. Amen. Particularly now, Jesus has redeemed her. She's Isha again. Praise God. Amen. Now, in the 32nd Psalm, I want you to see something here. That blessing, the blessing, the force of those words. The word bless, the first time it was used was declaration. That's what it means in Hebrew, to declare. That's the way God created the heavens and the earth, is by declaring life be, life was. Be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth. With what? With the Garden of Eden. So the power of the blessing, the declaration, the release of God's glory in this family's life had one purpose, and God never changes. And that same purpose today is to create the Garden of Eden wherever it is released by faith, hope, and love. That's what it does. And its first job is to remove all evidence of the curse. No born-again believer should be living in a cursed environment. No. Never. The power of the devil, unless you let him, he can't get in there. No. He should have been kicked out of that garden the first time, and I'm not letting him in my garden.
Amen.
Jesus kicked him out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember that? He got the first Adam in one garden, but I want you to know that last Adam busted his head in his garden.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So now, verse 1, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, or doesn't hold iniquity against him, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, what did the man just get through saying? He said, the man that has sin stopped in his life is blessed. You've created an environment where the blessing can do what it's supposed to do. So now we have a working definition of what sin is. I'm not talking about what some denomination says is sin, what another one says is not. I'm talking about what the Word of God calls sin, and sin is anything that will release fear and stop the blessing. That's what it was in the first place, and it's still the same thing today. Amen. Fear is sin. It stops the blessing. Now, you know, you could spend a lot of time on that, but that's not our assignment tonight. Now, take a good look at that. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, that's all you could get in the Old Testament. You could get your sin covered. Our sin has not been covered. Our sin has been removed, eradicated. The word eradicated is correct. The Amplified uses that and in this way. The blood of Jesus did not just remove our sin debt from us. It didn't mark the debt paid, as some have thought. No. It wiped out the handwriting on the note. In heaven, it does not exist. There is no record of sin against you. There's none there. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it's not, it can be before the next 30 seconds go by. Have the Apostle Paul get his name in the Lamb's Book of Life with one word, Lord! Shortest prayer in history. But it worked. Amen. Now, we're going to explore this a little bit. Let's turn over to the... I'm going to read several scriptures here because I really want you to get hold of it. Let's look in the fourth chapter of Romans, and we'll see this over in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4. And look in the sixth verse. Now this is quoting what we just read, but then it has some comment on it. Even as David also describes the blessedness. Now that's outstanding, isn't it? The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision or the Jews only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That is just literally saying that God imputed righteousness to Abraham, and then he was circumcised as a sign of it. He didn't impute the righteousness to him because he got circumcised. See? It was imputed because he believed God. Now, here is something extremely interesting here. I questioned the Lord back in the early days of my ministry, my calling. I said, Lord, why did you make the mark of that covenant where the man shed blood? I could understand. See, God didn't have any blood. He didn't have a physical body. But later on he did. And when he got a physical body, he shed his blood. And he shed his blood on that, hanging on that cross, hanging up on top of a mountain, man. I mean, for the world to see. But I said, why was the mark of this circumcision, why was that the mark of the covenant? I didn't understand that. Because the practice of those days, until yet, was to have an open scar. And covenant people, you remember David and Jonathan were covenant brothers. And they entered into a covenant. And this thing was powerful because Jonathan gave David his rank. And but now you could see the scar on both of them. And you see that scar. You know good and well he's in covenant with somebody. And come to find out he was in covenant with the prince of the nation. Wow. Amen. That made his covenant father the king. Well, that's all very extremely symbolic. But you could see the scar. David was forever aware of it. After he became king, he walked the floor. I could just see him rubbing that scar. And he walked the floor. He said, is there no kindred of Jonathan left that I may show covenant hesed to? I could just see him rubbing on that scar. It was bothering him. He's wanting to show himself strong to somebody in covenant. That's the way covenant people are. And they said, yeah, Mephibosheth is down there at Lodibar. He said, fetch him. Go get him. But you know, Mephibosheth wondered what in the world happened. I mean, here come the Israeli army after him, man. And the honor guard come and got him. Came in there and he threw himself in the floor and said, I'm just a dog in your presence. He said, get up from there. Tonight you eat at my table. Glory to God. This is my covenant brother's son. Well, I'd studied all that. I knew all that. I said, Lord, why did you fix this in a way that it could never, ever be a mark of pride? Because it's hidden. And it became against the law of God for it to ever be seen. I said, why was circumcision the thing? He said, so that no one could ever tell he was in covenant with me except by the blessing on him. He said, I wanted them to see my power, not just that mark in his skin. I want them to know that Almighty God made him rich. Don't you remember that's what Abraham said when when the Sodomite king came down there and said, you can have all this, just give us the people. He said, I don't want your shoestrings, man. I don't want anything except what my troops ate in the field, lest you say you made Abraham rich. And the Bible said, you know, he lifted his hand to God. No man's made Abraham rich, but Almighty God. And that's when Melchizedek come charging down there with the bread and the wine, covenant symbols. Called him possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Man, that's it. Phew. Glory. Now then, look at this again here in Romans 4. Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We won't spend a lot of time right here because we're headed somewhere, but we can't go without seeing this. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start reading with the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man... What man?
Any man.
Any preacher?
Any man.
No, any man. Well, you can say every man. That is in Christ is a new creature. He has been recreated in his spirit. It's not just an old forgiven sinner.
Yes, you know, just an old sinner saved by grace.
Well, you can't be both. You're either an old sinner or you're saved by grace. So get rid of the sin tags. They'll cripple you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has, isn't that past tense? Hath, H-A-T-H, has already. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them. Blessed is the man whose sins are not imputed against him. Now, folks, now listen. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I don't care if you just walked in off of the street. Don't have a clue what Jesus has done. Been living in sin all your life. God is not holding your sin against you. He's not imputing it against you. He reconciled you unto himself when Jesus hung on that cross and shed that blood. Hallelujah. The blessing is here. Now, he will not make your decision for you. If you will not, just read right on along there. Just read what else it says out there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. He said, God has called me to speak to you in his behalf. Now look at this. We pray you in Christ's stead. I'm speaking for Jesus, and I am earnestly asking you, I am even praying that you be reconciled to God. He's already reconciled. He has already said okay. He has already wiped your sin out by the blood of Jesus. He has already wiped out the note of handwriting against you in Jesus' blood, in Jesus' name, and by his power. He can do anything except make your decision to reconcile yourself with God. And people, you know, accuse us, say, well, you guys just make it too easy. You make it too easy. I didn't make it easy. But I have the ministry of reconciliation. No, it was hard. Jesus did all the hard part. He gave his blood. He poured himself out. He took your sin. He did the punishment for it. Your sin has already been punished.
Well, then, Brother Copeland, everybody going to heaven. Well,
I wish they were, but some fools won't receive it. He did everything but one thing. He could not pray your reconciliation prayer. You have to do that yourself. You have to make the decision, I am accepting this offer. I am entering into covenant with God. I receive my sins washed away. Now, look at that last verse there in that chapter. Oh, my goodness. Are you ready for this? For he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
in Him. Oh, my. Hallelujah. No, you didn't go in the garage of Volkswagen and then turn into a Cadillac. No. When you were a Volkswagen, you died. Sent you to the junkyard. And you were remanufactured a Rolls Royce. Praise God. A car for kings. Hallelujah. See, you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You reconciled, and when you did, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the love of God, the love of God, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit Himself. Huh? The love of God. God Himself. You have all of His attributes. You have everything in the Spirit that He ever was or ever will be is in your spirit the moment you got recreated in Christ Jesus. Blessed. Blessed. The blessing is in you. It's in there. The blessing is in there. It came in there as a seed. And the more you walk in it, and the more you look to it, and the more faith you develop and exercise in the blessing itself, it'll come through your physical body and drive out the curse of sickness and disease. It'll come through your bones and drive out sickness and disease in your bones. The blessing has come on us through the anointing of Jesus. It is alive in you. And its first duty is to turn your insides into the love of God. And then come through your outsides. Everything we get is from the inside out, not from the outside in. All spiritual things are from the inside out. Comes from the heart out, not the outside in to the heart. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart. That's talking about your spirit, not your blood pump. My blood pump is really doing good, by the way.
Amen.
I am blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, yeah. They took my blood pressure the other day. It's 110 over 70. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, tell you now, I am a healthy man. I'm blessed. Thank you very much. And that's the way you control your health, is with that blessing and this word. He sent His word to heal you. What word? The word of blessing.
Amen.
That's what this book is.
Amen.
It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam sloughed it off, and God immediately began His plan to get it back, and it culminated at Calvary. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, the blessing came. Righteousness came upon all men, the scripture says. Oh, Brother Copeland, then all of us are righteous and all of us going to heaven. No, not everybody has received it. It is an act of your will to receive it. It is an act of God to carry it out. That's just the way it works.
For four decades, this has been the heart of Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
You put that word of God in your mouth and you say, Lord, you don't have to come down here and appear to me. Why, no. The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
And in the audio series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, Kenneth delivers in-depth teaching on the biblical principles that changed his life years ago and will change yours today.
When His word comes out of your mouth, He is obligated by His calling from the Almighty as Lord, head of the church, to see to it that all of heaven's authority is behind what you say.
Learn the key to enriching your faith and how to defeat worry and fear. This CD series outlines the lessons and delivers the teaching that will put your life into God's overflow.
We are the prophets of our own life.
To request your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This 12 CD set by Kenneth Copeland is now available for just $25. To request your copy by phone, call toll free 800-575-4455. or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn how the words you say affect every part of your life. Order your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life today.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland. You know, 40 years ago, my mom and dad, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, learned some powerful principles from God's Word that changed their lives forever and certainly changed all of us kids' lives. In You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, my dad shares these life-changing principles. This is going to show you how to move from defeat to victory. You can order several, give them away as presents, change your family's life. I bet you know some people that need some changing. Hey, I bet you need some changing yourself. So order yours today and don't wait. You know, if you're facing a difficult situation in your life, whether it's in your business, your finances, your health, your marriage, I want to encourage you to stop saying what you don't want. Change it. Start saying what you do want. I know it's not easy to do, but you can do it. It takes some discipline. It takes a decision. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you need these tapes. So order those and change those things and change your life. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for everybody watching at home. Lord, I ask you right now to put a watch and a guard over our mouth. If we're about to say something that is negative, if we're about to say something, Lord, that will destroy our life or destroy a loved one or destroy our family, our business, Lord, I'm asking you to say, tell us to stop. And Lord, we tune our ear into you today. We tune our hearing to hear your voice. And when you tell us to stop, we will stop. When you tell us to be quiet, we will be quiet in the name of Jesus. We make this decision before you today and we ask you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Now expect him to help you. Expect him to tell you to be quiet. And then when he does, be quiet. Amen. And your life will be better. And maybe everybody else's too. In a week and a half, you can join my dad and mom at in Woodbridge, Virginia for the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. That's November the 8th through the 10th at the Hilton Memorial Chapel. This is such an amazing meeting. There's always prophetic words that come, awesome praise and worship, miraculous healings, and you're going to get a new revelation from the Word of God. Or maybe a clearer understanding of something you've already heard. Either way, you'll go away changed. For more information, just go to kcm.org. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.